Hey friends, welcome to episode 3 of A Little Extra Love, where we journey together through the highs and lows of disability parenting. Our goal is to empower disability parents and caregivers through faith-driven community rooted in hope, healing, and extra love. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Kyle. Excited to dive deep into some real talk with you about navigating crisis as disability parents and maintaining a strong marriage during the most challenging seasons.
Absolutely, Kyle. We're getting real with practical insight about how faith plays a huge role in navigating the ups and downs of raising a child with disabilities and about playing on the same team as a couple, even when it feels easier to retreat and do it all on your own. So grab your favorite drink, cozy up, and let's jump right in. So I'm so excited to be talking about this today, especially as so many of us navigate crisis in disability parenting and in the life that we live. It's really something that we need to know how to talk about, and also something we need to just be aware of as we discover and navigate the season of disability parenting and learning how to be a disability parent.
Yeah. And I think that the talking about this subject is extremely important because a lot of the times when it comes to marriage, whether it's in disability parenting or not, number one, it's already more challenging when you do have a child who has disabilities, but marriage is hard enough. We talked about the statistics the very first episode, which they're staggering as a nation already, but then you add on the disability factor, divorce rates are so much higher. And I think that this is a subject that a lot of people, they're worried or nervous to talk about sometimes or bring it to the forefront. I love it because I think you and I have done a pretty good job at like letting people know, hey, there's been times where we've struggled. There's, you know, been times where we've made the other the enemy. And I think sometimes that happens not only in just a marriage, but also when you're dealing with the complexities of having the child who has different medical needs and different things that happen. I think this is going to open a lot of people's eyes to the realization that they're not alone.
Absolutely. And, you know, Kyle and I, we don't have a perfect marriage. We're not people who claim to ever have a perfect marriage. We walk through the challenges just like every other couple faces, especially both coming from previous marriages, me coming from that space of being a single mom and doing it all on my own, I've really had to lean on Kyle and lean on God to be able to navigate how to allow someone into this really hard part of my life and to do it with me and be on my team, because there was a point where no one was on my team and it was just team Caleb and Rachel. And I had to learn how to figure out how to rely on someone again. And through that process, we did hit challenges. It was hard for me to let my walls down. But once I did and we started to play on the same team, I felt so much more supported. I didn't see myself in the space of isolation that so many disability parents face every single day, even in their marriages. We can feel isolated in our marriage and feel like we need to get out. We want to get out. Because of the stress we face as disability parents, turning away from each other instead of turning towards each other.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that a lot of the times when challenges do arise, a lot of the times people, they sometimes get in that rat race and they start looking at their partner as, you know, the resentment can build, especially when you're not playing on the same team or you feel like maybe you're caring more than the other side or whatever the case is. But all of those things can be fixed. I think a lot of the times it does have to do with perspective. I know later on in the episode, we'll probably get into it, but I definitely do want to first just say it right away, which is if you guys are struggling in any way, or even if you're not struggling in your marriage, I would have to say to the guys out there, if your wife has never brought up marriage counseling or you've kind of maybe looked at it and thought, nah, there's no, I'm not going to do that. That's stupid. I'll tell you right now, marriage counseling is the best thing you could ever do. It's not about going to talk to somebody because you don't know how to be a man or you don't know how to be a good husband or your wife's not doing her part. That has nothing to do with it. What it has to do with is the fact that sometimes in life, it's all about communication. I come from sales. And so if you're talking to somebody and you don't know how to properly communicate, you're never going to get anything done. And it's the same thing with your partner. Your partner could be saying the same thing you're saying, but you're saying the sky's blue and you're hearing that she's saying the sky's purple, but you're really both saying the same exact thing. So having somebody in the middle that can help mediate as well as just kind of build that communication and help you guys understand each other, I think that one little thing alone can help so many people out there. But the biggest thing I always hear from couples is, you know, oh, my husband doesn't want to go, or oh, I've heard that's stupid, or oh, it doesn't work. And I'll be the first person to tell you it absolutely does work. Not all counselors are created equal. I will say that, though. You have to find the right one that you both feel comfortable with. Well, Rachel and I jumped into marriage counseling pretty quickly after we did get married because we both came from previous relationships. We knew that our communication styles were different. We wanted to make sure that we had the best chance of succeeding in our relationship. And we still continuously go just to check in and make sure that, you know, we're doing things right. And if there's something maybe we need to resolve or whatever, it's helped our communication a lot. I mean, I think you'd probably agree with me.
Absolutely. I really think that marriage counseling, you know, really saved our marriage and helped us really learn how to be on the same team, especially as we've went through Gottman therapy, which we'll get in later in the episode. But that has really provided us with some great tools that have helped us navigate all the things that those unique challenges that come with disability parenting, especially in times of crisis, like, you know, the increased stress when Caleb is in the hospital or our kids are sick, or even the financial strain of having to take off work because kids are in the hospital or kids are sick or there's therapy, doctor's appointments, things like that. And just the emotional exhaustion and feeling so burnt out that you can't pour anymore from an empty cup. How are you going to give to your husband or wife when you're feeling so empty? So gaining tools in that box through therapy is so valuable because of the fact that you need someone to rely on. And if you are on the same team, you will feel so much better mentally because that exhaustion will no longer be there because you have someone to lean on. You do have a space to rely on someone to get rest. That was a huge change for me after being a single mom, was having someone to lean on to be able to say, hey, I can't spend another night at the hospital. Can you stay tonight? Because I really need some sleep. Kyle's always the first to be like, yeah, I'll do the overnight at the hospital because I do so much better. As women, we really do require more sleep. I see that as so valuable for my mental health. And I do the day shifts at the hospital and Kyle will do the night shifts. And that makes a world of a difference for me. I think one of the biggest things that we've been navigating as disability parents is recognizing the signs of stress and understanding its impact on our dynamic before the stress happens. So being ready for what's coming, not always waiting for the other shoe to drop, but knowing that we live in a life that does come with unexpected circumstances all the time. We need to know how to recognize those signs of stress so we can know how to communicate effectively through those challenging times.
Yeah. Also, if you recognize it, helping your partner and seeing, hey, you know, my wife's, you know, is, I can tell she's on edge, or, you know, she's just not feeling good, and stepping in and just saying, hey, you know what? I got this. Why don't you go take a few minutes? Or, hey, why don't you go upstairs? Let me just handle this, and vice versa. I think being able to recognize when those things happen, especially when you do have a child who is medically complex and then you have other children on top of that, you know, you're balancing everything. As parents, life is already crazy enough, but being able to realize where your partner is at and making sure you're giving them space and allowing them to kind of process that. A lot of the times, I think, especially in the beginning, Rachel was sometimes, like she was saying, she would kind of push back where it would be, I can do it, or I can handle it, or no, I got it. Now she definitely, especially over the past few years, has allowed me to really step in and make sure that she understands that I got this. And it takes so much more stress off of her plate and allows her to mentally kind of take that break because she knows, hey, you know, I got somebody who's willing to take the reins and kind of run with it. So yeah, definitely identifying and making sure that you understand, you know, that the stress is, it's going to be there, you know, and it's also about the perspective in which way you look at it. Cause for us, you know, you can look at it and think it's stressful situations, or it's a stressful day, or it's a stressful life. But at the end of the day, it's like, when I look at Caleb, it's all worth it because the joy that he brings to us outweighs everything else, you know, that we have to go through as parents and also even in our marriage.
Absolutely. I love that, babe. I really also think that, you know, us learning conflict resolution and really trying to see each other's perspectives and practicing that space of empathy as we walk through those hard times. I know we sometimes have bad days on the same days. And sometimes Kyle's having a great day and I'm having a day full of grief and just this heavy, sometimes shame of the way I responded to diagnoses or the way something happened or this or that. And he has to carry more weight than I can that day because of the emotional drainage. But he sees that, recognizes that I need space to process these big emotions that I am feeling and that I can't pour from an empty cup. And if I pour from my cup during those moments of sadness or grief, that I'm not going to have anything left when it comes to conflict resolution, communication, or, you know, even just simple things like cleaning up the house, because those emotions are so hard to process. And when you have a partner you can lean on to pick up the pieces of your house, your family, your life as you take that time to grieve or really just process that unexpected circumstance, even if it's years later, it truly helps knowing that you have a partner that practices empathy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would totally agree. And also to the other person out there who, you know, maybe they are single or they're divorced, I will have to say that's where your community really comes into play. So if you don't have a community, I will tell you that there is community out there. You know, you just have to search for it. If you need help finding some type of community and where you're at, reach out to us. Because, you know, there's a lot of resources out there. There's a lot of groups that people are not aware of. And that's obviously the number one reason why we started this podcast, was to bring some type of community where people could start plugging into and really feel like they're not alone in this journey. But stress, whether it's in marriage or even as a single parent, just know that you're not alone. There is always hope. There's always resources out there that you have access to. So just reach out to us if you need help with that. You know, we'll definitely be able to kind of walk you through or at least help you get plugged in somewhere.
Yeah. And as always, you know, faith is a cornerstone of marriage and just us in general and our family. Faith is everything to us. And one thing I've noticed is when life storms rage and we just feel just the worst of the worst, we anchor our souls in the unshakable promises of our faithful God. I love how Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. When you're walking through crises or walking through hard times, whether that be in life with your child with a disability or just in your marriage, feeling like you're in a season that may be a drought, that may feel like a wilderness in your marriage, you may feel like roommates. Just remember that crisis can bend us, but it won't break us. Our faith in God can give us the courage to stand firm even in the most chaotic times. And that's always been a super strong truth to me as I've walked through my marriage with Kyle. I had to really remember that my number one duty in life was to please God and not please man. And knowing that I just need to go to him when I am really, really in my darkest spaces. So we really wanted to just highlight some principles that offer guidance and support for marriage during times of crisis. Those things that we think are really important that are kind of our cornerstones in life are unity, forgiveness, and unconditional love. This year, Kyle and I both got matching tattoos. Sorry if you don't like that, but it's fun. That say 70x7, and it's all about forgiveness.
In the Bible, Jesus talks about it, which is, you know, a lot of the times, especially people in today's world, they say, you know, how many times should you forgive somebody? And Jesus said, well, 70x7. You're always continuously supposed to be forgiving one another, because if not, that leads to resentment, that leads to struggles in marriage. It leads to so many things, because then you're keeping score on who did something right, who did something wrong. And it just leads to turmoil in your marriage, because you're going to always hold on to that. And then when things do come up or challenges do arise, the first thing that the human mind does is, oh, well, you did this and you did that. And I remember when you did this and I remember when you did that. So you need to forgive. People say, you know, forgive and forget. It's a lot easier said than done. But 70x7, like we were saying, is that fact of like, look, you know, we're all going to make mistakes hundreds and hundreds of times. But at the end of the day, we've got to learn from and move forward and forgive our spouse to really become better in our marriage and also be a better partner for our spouse that they truly deserve.
Absolutely. I love that so much. And I love our tattoos. I think they're so cute and they're so fun. It's a great reminder for us to keep forgiving, even though we both mess up. We're both humans. That's something I just think is so important, is forgiveness. And then unity is also just knowing you are on each other's team, that God divinely orchestrated your marriage, knowing that who you were going to marry, who you were going to be raising your children with, and what that would look like. But we still have to do the work and remind ourselves that we need to play on the same team in order to have a strong marriage, in order to show our children what a healthy relationship looks like.
Yeah. And I just want to say as well, is when you're in marriage and you're walking through life, I think one of the biggest things that people can get caught up in, and I've done this before as well, I mean, I'm human, is you look at your spouse and let's say they do something wrong or they upset you, and that's what you hold on to, especially when you start reading your Bible and you start getting back into your faith and you really start having a connection to God. One of the things that people kind of gear towards sometimes is their prayers will go to their spouse. Like, I post stuff about praying for your spouse, which I think is always a very important thing. But I think there's a difference between praying for your spouse and asking God to fix them and realizing that it's not your job to fix your spouse, that that's up to God and God will do that with them. That's their conversation in their own private time. But what I have seen the biggest results in outside of marriage counseling for myself as a husband is when I'm in my time with the Lord or I'm in my Bible study or whatever that looks like, I'm not talking about Rachel. Right. I'm not talking about what she did or what she didn't do, or man, I wish she would do more of that. I'm looking at how can Kyle get better? How can Kyle grow? Lord, what do you need me to do in my day-to-day life? How can I be a better father? How can I show up more? How can I become a better person? That's what I'm asking myself. And whenever I do that, ultimately everything else in our life falls in a line and vice versa. I mean, babe, I think you probably would say the same thing. I mean, I've heard you say it many times.
Yeah, whenever I am really just using the practical ways to see God in my life and to receive him, we always, always, always see less problems in our marriage, even in peak crises, even in our deepest valleys. If we're in our faith, we do see just so much less conflict. It truly is so amazing. I know for me, I pray for Kyle and our family every day. But one thing I ask God to do every single day as I pray and as I thank him for my awesome husband and my awesome kids, I ask him to use me to teach my husband something, use me to teach my kids something, use them to teach me something, use my husband to teach me a new thing that he wants me to know in my life. And so God works through my husband, Kyle, every single day. Like, he teaches me things through Kyle daily and makes me see a different light, different perspective, and through my kids as well. And that is one of the most beautiful things about God. I really like how Kyle and I have, throughout this last year, that we feel like has really helped us, is finding a trusted mentor couple. We have an incredible couple that just pours into us, that loves us, that helps guide our marriage, that prays for us, that supports our ministry, and just loves us as a couple. They have made such a difference in our marriage. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Because at the end of the day, nobody's ever going to be perfect. But finding somebody that you can, you know, look up to, or you see the way that they communicate with one another and they're open and transparent about not only their struggles in the past, but also things that, you know, that they had to walk through. And it really helps you because I've heard it a million times. People say, you know, if you don't have a GPS and you're just driving blindly, well, you're probably never going to get to your destination. And having a couple that they have a great marriage, they have a great spiritual life, they love one another, and they've really walked through the fire together and have come out the other side stronger. For me, I love that because they're giving us those warning signs and they're telling us, hey, when we were around this season of our life, or when this would happen, we would do this, or he used to do this and this is how I used to respond. And they'd give us those things so that way we can, number one, identify some of the landmines in our day-to-day life or in our marriage that could blow up, and we got to make sure that we take care of it. Or also make sure that when we're in our marriage counseling that we can bring certain things up and we can really talk about those things, because we have another couple that know exactly where we're at in life and they can help guide us and lead us to having an ultimately just a better marriage and a more successful life.
Yeah. And I think for us, it's also so important. Neither of us come from families that have healthy marriages, healthy relationships. And so Kyle and I really had to learn that ourselves through marriage counseling and through seeing different relationships in our friendships and just through research, honestly. And so grounding your marriage in faith and trust in God's plan, even in the midst of uncertainty and crisis, has been a huge thing that our spiritual mentors have taught us. I think it has been a game changer for us to know that if we ground our marriage in faith and we fully trust and surrender to God, that He will help us get through the deepest of valleys.
That's so true. I mean, and I also want to make sure that if you are going through a challenging time right now, you know, in your marriage or even just personally, maybe your spouse doesn't really know it yet. Just remember, though, that as we face challenges in marriage, we should be drawing closer to God. And that is one of the biggest things that I have found myself these last few years really understanding and learning and leaning into, because there's a lot of times when people face challenges in their day-to-day life, at work, in their health, whatever that looks like, and they start running away from God versus running to Him. And there's a million reasons why we do it. It could be habit. It could be because we're human. There's so many different reasons. But I will definitely tell you, if you are having some type of challenge, opening your Bible, going through a Bible study, reaching out to a friend, asking for prayer, that is the best thing that you can do. It is the best remedy in the entire world to help you get out of that dark place. And if you're too afraid to ask for help from people that you know, if you don't know us, like I say this all the time, I've said it a million times already, reach out to us. Because living in darkness when you are struggling in your marriage or anything else, I'm telling you right now, that is the biggest thing that the enemy likes to do, is likes to whisper to you that, you know, nobody really cares about you, that nobody cares about your problems. Everyone struggled. What's so special about you? You're not a good enough spouse. You're not a good enough father. You're not a good enough mother. You're not a good enough blah, 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 blah. All these lies that we hear or we say to ourselves on a daily basis because of our past or our trauma or whatever else you want to say. I'm telling you right now, if you're in that dark place, open up your Bible, reach out to somebody, and do not be silent. Because if you're silent and you're struggling, that is the scariest place that you can be, not only for yourself, but for your spouse, for your kids, and for your family. So I want to make sure I say that, especially to the men out there. You know, sometimes we pretend like everything's okay and we're marching up a hill with 50 pounds on our back and we're struggling and we don't want to let anybody know because it shows that we're weak. That's what a lot of society has programmed us to think. But you're not weak. It's that, you know, you need to be able to lean on somebody sometimes. That's why community is so important. And I have guys reach out to me all the time, you know, asking me for advice or help or just prayer, or maybe even just, hey, can we just talk for a second? And that has helped me a lot, having some male friendships where I can call up or lean on or ask questions. So just make sure if you're in that place right now, understand that it's not like that forever, but you also can't just sit there and expect stuff to change. Right? You have to be proactive. You have to step out and take that first step of, you know, opening the Bible, start reading it.
I love that so much. And to any mom listening to this who feels like they might be lost in a season of darkness in their marriage, where they may feel like they're in a roommate season, I just want to remind you that your marriage is a testament to God's faithfulness, and it can bond through a fire of adversity. You will be refined through the fire, and crisis may challenge you, and it does challenge us. It does challenge Kyle and I all the time, but it can't break us. If you have God in your corner, if you have God and you're receiving, it will not break you. And we really wanted to offer some practical tips on playing on the same team, on what it looks like to have a mindset of teamwork and mutual support, and recognize that you are stronger together. For me personally, this was hard. It was hard to go from a space of being a single mom who didn't have much support and doing it all on my own to allowing my husband into my corner and allowing him to be on mine and Caleb's team. And it helped me so much to recognize that Kyle and I are so much stronger together than I am on my own. I really think it's important to talk about communication, teamwork, and the support in how we've overcome our challenges together.
Yeah, and also as we go through some of these things, I hope you have an open mind. And I don't care if you've been married for 2 months or 20 or 30 or 40 years. At the end of the day, you can always grow. There's always things that change in marriage. Who I married when I first got married to Rachel, Rachel's not the same person she is today. And I don't think any person is the same person that they were 40 years ago. People are continuously changing. And so what does that mean? Well, if you're continuously changing, so is your marriage, which means you can always learn. People are always adjusting. So making sure that you don't become stagnant in the day-to-day monotonous things of just, oh, it's just another day. Well, no, it's not just another day. We can continue to grow. We can continue to realize that our wives need more things. Your husbands, maybe their needs are changing. Different seasons in our lives, there's always ups, there's always downs. Like, there's a lot of different things that change. So as we go through this, I hope that you have an open mind and you don't, you know, just sit there and think, well, that's cheesy or this or that. Because I'm telling you right now, these things do help. Maybe you want to start off.
Yeah. And, you know, unity in crisis is just not about surviving together, but thriving together and finding joy in the midst of adversity. And I think these practical tools really do help that. All of the things we're talking about are from this practice in therapy called the Gottman Method. It has really helped us. So today we're going to be talking about love maps, turning towards, and repair attempts to foster deeper connection and understanding in marriage. I'm going to go over love maps, and I know Kyle really has found value in turning towards, so I'll let him talk about that one. But love maps are essentially a roadmap to your partner's inner world. They involve understanding your partner's likes, their dislikes, their dreams, their fears, and honestly, everything in between. By regularly updating and deepening your love maps, you can strengthen your emotional connection and intimacy, and also just have a deeper understanding of each other. So love maps has helped Kyle and I really stay attuned to each other's needs and preferences and helped us foster our relationship in times of trial. One of the way we help each other do love maps is spending time together at the end of the day on the couch, putting a timer, no phones. A lot of people call it couch time. We just call it like our time, spending time together. But we just essentially shut off everything from the outside after our kids go to bed and just talk about things that we're walking through, our dreams, our aspirations, and how we can support each other. And that is essentially love mapping. It is a really easy tool. It's just diving deep with your partner and giving them your undivided attention as they talk about things that they really do love. And Kyle and I, we don't have all of the things in common. We have a lot in common, but not everything in common. And sometimes you do just listen to your partner talk about things they love that you might not find the most interest in, but because they love it, you better start finding some type of interest in it because it helps them feel supported when you see interest in the things that they're interested in.
No, that's 100% true. You've heard the statement, which is women want to be heard and men want to be respected. That is like the truest statement in the world. I think a lot of the times we miss opportunities to connect with our spouse because we think that it's just something silly, or we think it's not a big deal, or we're kind of, you know, we're in a hurry, whatever that is. But Rachel's right. Turning towards, for me, is really, really big, because when you're married to somebody for so long, eventually you think, oh, I know everything about this person. That is the scariest place to be, because everyone is continuously growing. So turning towards is really about responding to your partner's bids. And I'll talk about that in a second, but it's a bids for connection. So in any relationship, there are countless opportunities for connection, whether it's a simple question, a shared joke, or request for support. So turning towards involves actively acknowledging and responding to these bids in a positive and supportive manner. So by consistently turning towards each other, couples can really cultivate trust, validation, and emotional intimacy with their relationship. So let me just give you an example of something simple, which is, let's say Rachel and I, we're both working and we're at the kitchen table and she's taking a break for a second and she sees a video and she wants to show it to me. I say, hey, baby, just give me 20 minutes and you can. Now, all it was a 30-second little clip. She thought it was funny. She thought it was hilarious. And I shut that down. Well, that was a bid. Now, what does a bid mean? A bid means she wanted to share something that was funny or important to her. And I shut that down. That was a bid, meaning an opening for connection. She wanted to connect with me in a moment, and I shut it down. If you continuously do that day after day after day after day, and then people wonder, why does my wife not feel seen? Why does she not feel heard? I show up, I go to work, I do all these things, but she says that she doesn't feel supported. Well, those bids, whether your husband or wife, they are so important. It could be something small like that, but recognizing when your partner says, hey, can I show you something? Or, hey, I want to tell you something. Or, hey, look at this new thing that I got. Or look at this thing that I just got from the store. Those small little moments like that are the biggest things in your relationship, because they're bids for connection. And it makes both partners feel seen and heard. And it makes sure that you don't feel like you're the only one playing in the game.
Yeah, I truly think that turning towards and following through with bids has been such a huge part of our relationship growing, honestly. It's helped us so much. And me having the awareness of knowing what Turning Towards is truly changed my life and my relationship with Kyle. And as we've navigated through crisis, we've had to learn to leverage each other's strengths, knowing that we are stronger together. But what happens when things go really wrong and a situation does escalate because of conflict? One of those things about conflict is that it's inevitable in any relationship, but how couples navigate and resolve conflicts can significantly impact the health of their relationship. So I want to talk about repair attempts, which are strategies used to de-escalate conflict and repair relationship ruptures. We both have to use repair attempts all the time in our relationship. We do still face conflict in our relationship, and every couple does. But repair attempts involve making small gestures or statements aimed at diffusing tension, expressing remorse, or reconnecting emotionally. These can include offering an apology, using humor to lighten the mood, or expressing empathy towards your partner's feelings. Repair attempts help couples address conflict constructively and maintain a sense of connection and goodwill while doing it. Repair attempts are a thing all of us need in every single marriage for the end of time. We need to know how to resolve conflict in a healthy way and also stay emotionally connected through that conflict. Wouldn't you agree, babe?
Yeah, and I think that that's something that it's not a natural ability to do something like that. I don't care what kind of family you came from. When there's conflict or something arises, you know, I heard one person say, I never saw my parents fight, or I've never seen an argument. Well, I'll tell you that I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I will tell you that your kids seeing healthy conflict and healthy resolution, that mom and dad can be calm in a moment and walk through something and agree to disagree in a healthy way, that is actually a healthy thing, because as they grow up and they see the healthy relationship and they see what healthy conflict is, it's a great thing, because their future partners or their future spouses will thank you. Because in this world today, not a lot of people know how to have, when there's conflict that arises, instead of blowing up, escalating, freaking out, screaming matches, all those things you see on TV, that is not healthy conflict. If you don't know how to have healthy conflict resolution, that is why therapy is so important. And a lot of the times whenever I've talked to people about, especially with therapy, they say, well, I can't afford it, or this or that. I will tell you that if you have any type of insurance, number one, they do usually cover some type of therapy. And there's a lot of companies that you can actually go online. So like for Rachel and I, we do our therapy online. It's not in person. It's online with the therapist, and we're there together. Now, there were also a time in the very beginning where we made sure that was part of our budget. So no matter what. So like, yes, we did have date nights or whatnot, but there was a season in our life where we made sure that the number one thing before anything was our marriage therapy. If you have insurance or you don't have insurance, or maybe even have some more questions on that to seek that out, let me know, because I'd love to talk about that. So, but just know that there's always resources out there for people to be able to reach out and find a good counselor that works for them, that not only the husband, but also the wife is very comfortable with. And they can walk you through those, especially if they're a Christian counselor. Walking through the Gottman method is absolutely incredible. If you don't know what it is, like Rachel had talked about, I would go look it up, because it's phenomenal, and it's transformed thousands and thousands of relationships.
Yeah, the Gottman method has really, really saved so many families. It really is just such an awesome technique to strengthen emotional intimacy and build a solid foundation for your marriage, even if you're not having issues yet. The best thing you can do for yourself and your marriage is preventative maintenance, and knowing how to deal with conflict when it arises or when crisis arises. If you're finding this episode and you have a newly diagnosed child that may have a disability or is medically complex, I would jump into marriage counseling right away. I would not be waiting. I would be diving headfirst into the Gottman method and learning these techniques to have a healthy relationship. Because life with a child that is disabled does have challenges. And those challenges usually, in some way or another, pose challenges on your marriage and your relationship. But the great thing is we can have tools, and we have a God that can help us overcome those challenges. And that is so much bigger than those challenges. So as we pursue unity together, we always pursue God and the dreams that we have for our life and the calling he has for us. But without therapy, we wouldn't be able to do that. And without learning these techniques, our marriage probably wouldn't have made it. But because we have learned them, it has, and we love each other and we're able to have healthy conflict resolution and know how to overcome challenges and crises when they come our way, which they do.
And I mean, I totally agree. At the end of the day, you know, unity isn't just about agreement, but grace. Not just about compromise, but compassion. Also, not just about standing together, but also kneeling together in prayer. For my men out there, just remember, life is going to happen to you regardless of where you're at. But understanding to have compassion at the end of the day, going back to that 70 times 7, and remembering that nobody is perfect, including us, and coming together in prayer, really understanding that you two need to be on the same page and fighting for the same thing. There's a lot of times where things happen in marriage, but at the end of the day, coming together and fighting on the same team is always going to be better. Always just remember that starting the day with prayer, that's what Rachel and I have always done, starting the day with prayer, ending the day with prayer, and really making sure that we understand that, hey, look, no matter what, we know at the end of the day, fighting for the same thing, which is to, you know, to give our kids the best life that we can.
Yeah, I just hope that today encouraged you and that you can apply some of these things to your life, because it's so important to have faith in your marriage, to have communication in your marriage, and to focus on teamwork as you're navigating crisis as disability parents. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today on A Little Extra Love. We hope you're leaving feeling encouraged and ready to tackle whatever comes your way.
Remember, friends, you're never alone in this journey. Keep leaning on your faith and knowing that brighter days are ahead.
If you love today's episode, be sure to hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, and share it with a friend who could use a little extra love today.
And until next time, take care of yourselves and each other, sending lots of love your way.
Stay blessed. We can't wait to see you next week.